We're happy to win a bronze medal here in the Podcast Olympics. It's My Mac Podcast number 196 with Sam, Tim, and Guy.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
Hi, my name is Tim Robertson. I'm the publisher of MyMac.com, and this is our weekly podcast. This is number 196, 196 weekly shows now. I'm joined with Guy Searle. Guy Searle, of course, is a bronze medal winner in the Podcast Olympics back way, way back in 1992.
Yeah. That's right. Get off my lawn.
You been watching the Olympics at all, Guy?
Yeah. I've been digging on the volleyball, and my wife seems to be into a lot of the water events, so I've seen like lots
Michael
of
Phelps and all
that and synchronized diving stuff along those lines.
Yeah, you know, I like watching the Olympics because my wife likes it so much. I mean, she's really into it,
right?
And so you know, I humor her. I watch it with her. I don't care that much. But that being said, I am very impressed with the swimmer Michael Phelps. I mean, geez, what do you think, Sam Levin?
He's the greatest Olympiad ever, and he is just a few medals shy of beating Mark Spitz.
For a single Olympics.
Olympics, Mark Spitz received 7.
Yeah,
right.
You think he's going to win 8?
What was that, 1976, I think?
72, I think.
72?
Was it 76? I thought it was 72. Well, no, it's 72. 72.
This is a Mac show, but, you know, this is something that's going on worldwide, and I think a lot of people are interested, so
yeah.
We got to talk about it. And there's no such thing as the Podcast Olympics, but if there was, I would be happy with the bronze. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
So last week, Sam Levin, you kind of hinted, and actually you didn't even hint, you just came right out and said it, we're going to do a giveaway this week and next week.
Right.
And so let's start there, working with a great company, PosiMotion.
Right. PosiMotion is they're a new company on the scene for apps. They make iPhone apps and games as well. So if you head to PosiMotion, that's POSIMotion, PosiMotion.com, or if you go to iTunes App Store, you'll be able to check out all of their cool apps. They start at 99 cents to, you know, cool products like A-Level, which turns your iPhone into a level. And by the way, they're on the top 10 of all products right now, or applications, that is, for the A-Level. I forgot which other one, but I dig their stuff. And G-Park, to me,
yeah,
it's I mean, how many of you forgot where you parked? How many times do you say, oh, where is it? So G-Park basically is a Jeep. It ties into your GPS. You turn on your iPhone. It says, park me. You click one button. You can add notes if you want, but you don't need to, really. And then when you leave, it knows where you parked it. It kind of tags your location with a GPS tag. And then wherever you're at, when you're ready to go back to your car, you say, find me. Find my car. And it tracks your car with GPS.
Looks pretty cool.
I mean, I just think that's cool. How many times have you done that? Of course, I can see a lot of other cool things to add to this as well, and they won't tell me what they're doing with the new versions, but they hinted.
They got a cool-looking game, too, called Digga.
Yeah,
kinda
Digga's
reminds me of Dig Dug.
It's like Boulder Dash.
Is it? It kind of looks like Dig Dug to me.
Yeah, you dig. It's like the old NES game, stuff like that. They just released that. They just released Kaleidoscope, which turns your iPhone into a kaleidoscope, and you can take weird kaleidoscope pictures of you know, with your camera or with whatever is on your photo library. Then they have backgammon, they have pool or billiards, billiards, which I'm really into. Anyway, what we're gonna do is this week we're gonna do two $10 giveaways. That means whoever gets gifted those giveaways can buy anything on iTunes. Now, hopefully, what we'd like to see is for you to buy at least one of the products from PosiMotion and tell us what you think.
Absolutely.
That's what, I mean, I think that's the right thing to do. And then next week we're going to do the same. We're going to do another giveaway, a $10 gift, and you can buy anything you want with that. You know, 99 cents buys you A-level, which is, I mean, that's dirt cheap.
Absolutely.
Well, so one good thing would be to, if you're going to leave a comment, would be go to iApp. Oh, crap. What is it? AppMinute.com.
Right. Go to AppMinute and basically leave a comment. We're going to put a little thing in there about PosiMotion because we're going to do a little cross-pollination on, especially within my Cool Mac Picks, what I talk about and, you know, apps and stuff like that. But we'll do it on my Mac. But definitely leave a comment about what you think. Because some of these things, I think, are really, really cool, and they're inexpensive.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they're not expensive at all, and you're going to get a lot of enjoyment out of a lot of these apps.
Yep. Sure, I would love the backgammon one.
Yep.
I'm really kind of interested in the Digga. I mean, just the graphics alone kind of looks fun. It made me very reminiscent of the NES days.
And what's nice about Digga is that you can either use the finger to navigate, you can use... you know, whatever, navigate up, down, left, right, or you can use keys, or you can move the iPhone. So
I use an accelerometer to actually move the guy too?
So let's see. I'm not sure if it does use accelerometer. I don't want to speak too soon about that. But you can use multiple. You don't need to use just your finger. I know that you can use other things.
You can use your nose. Put it real close to your face, and you can use your nose to move.
Yeah, listen. That would probably work.
That would, it'd be a little challenging, I think, though.
Here, I'm reading it now. I've played it just briefly, but God, I don't know if you can. Buttons and touch. No, I don't think you use accelerometer.
I don't think I would want to for a game like that because you really want precise movement.
Use your finger to navigate or the buttons, not accelerometer for Digga. But it's cool. It's a cute game. It's got the little sound effects that you're reminiscent of the old days.
Yeah, it's only $3.99.
It's easy. It's pretty easy, and it's got a bunch of different levels that you can play. Anyway, what we're going to do is do a giveaway, and Tim, I'll let you figure out how to give it away, the $10 giveaway.
Well, this week what we want people to do is simply send an email. Next week it's going to be a little bit more complicated. But this week, simply send an email to... news@appminute.com. Nope, not in my Mac address. You got to send it to news@appminute.com. And that's
just
it.
Put PosiMotion in the...
PosiMotion in the subject line. That's all right. Yeah.
And we'll
randomly select two winners.
Right. Next week, we'll do something different, possibly tying it into Twitter, because now we have a Twitter account, so you could check us out, and we're posting updates on Twitter. So maybe we'll tie this in to someone will have to go and look at an update on Twitter.
So thank you very much for the support, PosiMotion. And,
thank you, PosiMotion.
We appreciate that. Now, before we get to the Cool Mac pick, Sam, obviously we're talking about AppMinute a little bit.
Yep.
It is live now.
AppMinute
has launched.
It's live.
I've got some email already from people. They really seem to like it. It's a lot simpler as far as the layout is concerned than MyMac.com.
Yep.
Unlike MyMac.com that is all original content, everything you find at MyMac.com is original. You won't find it anywhere else on the internet because it's written for MyMac.com. AppMinute is more of an iPhone app news aggregator.
Aggregator.
We go out and find interesting iPhone news, but we're really kind of more or less concentrating on app news, because that's what we want to talk about. We're finding the good websites, so if you know a good website that has really interesting app news, send us a link to that website, and we'll start linking that content. And we're very... I'm going to link to everybody, Sam.
I think that's good. And listen, if you're really interested in talking about app information, or you're a developer... send us an email. I just spoke with someone that I've known for several years, and he's a developer. He's coming out with a very cool product along the lines of Magic. And
that'd be neat.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I'll get into that later. Not this week, probably next week, I'm going to write a small little article about Magic and the iPhone and what's going on with that scene. I think it's going to explode, really explode.
Cool Mac picks. What do you got for us?
Mac picks. Okay. Yes, I have a real Macintosh application to talk about.
Oh my God.
And I know what this is because Sam and I was actually sharing screens on what was it? iChat.
Yesterday, or two days ago.
Yeah, 2 days ago. We were iChatting back and forth, and I took over his screen because I was showing him a few things. And you actually showed me something, Sam. I really liked it.
Tim was, you know, he gave me some code to place, you know, into WordPress or whatever it is, to format. And I said, this is crazy. I said, here, let me show you how it should be done. So it's a great segue for a company called Smile on My Mac. So if you go to smileonmymac.com, you'll see that this company is well known in the field of productivity software for the Mac. That's all they make, Mac productivity software, and they do a great job at it. This product is called Text Expander, and it's a keystroke application, kind of reminiscent a little bit like what we used to remember Quick Keys to do.
But, yeah, I was a big proponent of Quick Keys. I used to love that in the Mac OS 8 days.
Right. This does it probably to the next level or two. I would say more like 5 levels. Now, you're able to embed this as a menu item. It shows up a little circle that says TE on your menu. And basically, you can embed anything from text to formatted text to text and graphics, logos, signatures. I mean, how many times, Guy, do you write an email and you want to place whatever it is, something, whether it's your signature, a logo, anything you constantly want to grab? Well, there's no scrapbook. If you remember, there's no scrapbook on a Mac now. So
not anymore, no.
And the scrapbook, you know, was pretty linear back in the old days. This, you could go to town and do any of those combinations. I have now the footer for @minute, case sensitive, so when I type all caps APP, Text Expander automatically understands it and places an entire signature file with the graphic.
With the graphic.
So they now understand foreign symbols, so like from tildes to
currency.
I believe so. The accent over an E. So how many times are you hunting for, you know, when you spell Mexico, there's an accent over the E. Now it accepts that and understands that formatting. I think Text Expander is a gold mine. It's $29.95. If you do a lot of, if you're writing, not editing, and you're constantly placing the same graphics, there are some other clipboard companies that make products, but nothing like Text Expander. You know, I just think it's a great product. So check it out at smileonmymac.com, and I think you'll really love it.
And they've got some nice video tutorials as well.
They do a great job in the tutorial. Greg Scowen used to work for Apple, so he understands coding really, really well. They make a whole slew of other products as well. Check out their other products. We'll get into those in the next few weeks or few months because they're all really good. But this is my favorite. Next on the docket is JBL. JBL's well known for their speakers, and they make a whole line of iPod speakers. JBL is owned by a company called Harman Industries. You know what Harman Kardon is, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Okay, they're like a $5 billion corporation, Harman Industries, and JBL is part of that. And they have a new speaker for the iPod called the OnStage 3P loudspeaker. Works with the iPhone 3G, and iPods. And what's unique about it is now they've got the authentication chip, so if your iPhone is turned on, you don't have to go into airplane mode. It automatically quiets that. There's no buzz.
That's nice.
And it's great. It's battery powered or AC. It's got an IR remote. It's a small circle with speakers embedded in the side. And it's just sleek. Everything they do is really, really well manufactured. The industrial design is clean. It's $169.95. You probably could find it cheaper on Amazon or something like that. And they've been making speakers almost since day one for the iPod, so they understand audio and fidelity really well. So you can check them out at jbl.com. Or just go to the link that we're providing, and it will take you there, and you can check it out. Also next are friends from Fun Friends. Now, Fun Friends makes these really wacky covers and cases for your iPod and now iPhone. So if you want to give a gift, like a...
I'm looking at them right now. They're
Winnie
really
the Pooh,
cute.
They make Winnie the Pooh, Mickey Mouse, iPhone cases, silicone gel cases, but they also make these plush... furry kind of covers that cover your flip phone or your candy bar type phone. And I think they're a riot. They've got a little clip on there so you can clip them on your belt. You can still use the phone while the case is on there. So, you know, if your 10-year-old, you know, is having a birthday, it's perfect for him or her. I mean, really, they make dogs, cats, they make all sorts of different animals. Just go to funfriends.com. They start at like $14-15.
Yeah, they got a Mickey Mouse iPhone case. That's neat.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have been doing it for a while. They have a bunch of celebrities. That's one of the things. You should see the celebrities that carry their stuff. So I think it's pretty cool, and I've given a few of these to friends, and they laugh, but the thing is, it's cool.
It's just cool. A good case.
Yeah. And then lastly, I guess this really ties into our App Minute segue, folks. Yep. It's our App Minute app pick of the week. And I've picked iLighter. And iLighter basically is a lighter. It looks like a Zippo, kind of a Zippo lighter. And you can flick the lighter open using the accelerometer, or you can use your finger. And it's hilarious. You can select different colors of lighters. You can click on the flame, press on it, and it kind of moves. And then if you move the iPhone, it will actually move. The flame will move. So I think it's really fun. It's
I can see this being used in, like, concerts where they hold up their iPhone.
Right.
Have the
it's
little
like
flickering.
Free Bird. I call it Free Bird. But I used it last night just for the heck of it to see how it would illuminate the dark. So you could use it somewhat as a flashlight. I mean, how many times have you used your iPhone or iPod as a kind of a flashlight? I have many times. But I think they've done a really cool job. We've linked the App Store link so you can go and check it out. It's 99 cents. It's from a company called Ubermind. And that's our App Minute app pick of the week.
Well, thanks very much, Sam. And don't forget, everybody, to enter the contest. Simply send an email to tim@mymac.com. Put PosiMotion in the subject line, and we'll pick two random winners. $10 iTunes card giveaway. So thanks so much, Sam.
We were supposed to thank you, and we were supposed to send them to news at @minute, I thought. Which one is...
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
All right.
I'm so used to saying to Tim, it's news at @minute. So
you know,
news at @minute.com.
Right. Well, I appreciate it, guys, and I'll see you on @minute.
Sounds great, Sam.
Thanks.
Bye, Sam.
Bye.
And we're back, and it's sans Sam.
David Cohen.
David Cohen isn't here this week, is he?
Yeah, no, he was. He was a little under the weather.
I think he's just pissed off that, you know, our swimmer is doing so much better in the Olympics than the...
You had to go there. You just had to go there.
No, I know it's not true.
Yeah, China's kicking our ass in just about every other swimming sport.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the synchronized thing. I know my wife kept saying, man, those Chinese divers are just amazing. It's like one person. I was like, oh,
yeah, they're doing well in gymnastics too, but they've got like the number one team in the world.
Yeah, well, that helps.
Yeah.
So our sponsor of the show, of course, is Otherworld Computing.
So it's not the Chinese gymnastics
team. No, it's not the Chinese gymnastic team. They don't sponsor the podcast.
Otherworld
Computing. MacSales.com.
Love the Mac sales.
They actually sent out some PR that I got an email on this week.
And, yeah, this is a cool
brand
device.
New product, and it looks pretty cool. It's the Mercury Elite All Pro Dual Drive USB plus USB powered hub.
Yeah.
This is a nice looking box, guy.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to be relatively quiet. It comes in capacities of 500 gigs all the way up to 2 terabytes for under $500. You know, if all you need is a 500 gig drive, $169.
And that's not a bad price for a 500 gig drive, but this does a lot more. It obviously has an on and off switch, has an LED, but it also will give you 2 more USB powered
ports. Right.
That's a nice thing. A lot of these don't have a powered port. If you get a USB on it, which most of them don't even give you, they're right. not usually powered. It's just a
pass. Well, and not only that, most of them are just, you know, you're plugging it from a USB port to a USB port, and
you
know,
lose a USB port because of it.
Right.
Yeah, but this is going to give you an extra 2 ports after you've plugged it into your Mac, and that's a nice thing.
Right, and the fact that it's dual drive, which means you've got space inside of here for 2 drives. And as usual with the Mercury Elite line, which is a really, really well-known line, if in some point in the future you want to put bigger drives in it, it's relatively easy to open up. You slap in 2 new drives, and you're good to go.
And, of course, this will work just perfectly with Time Machine.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're on Leopard and you're not using Time Machine nor any other backup, you're going to lose everything. You really are. And
yep.
I can't stress enough how important backups are. Do you remember a couple of shows ago, guy that I was telling you about, I lost my iTunes library. It was just gone.
Yes.
That was saved. It was an XML file that was corrupt. And I simply went into Time Machine, backed it up
went
to a backup from like the day before, because I hadn't changed anything in my iTunes library in that time. And it worked fine. Everything was right back to normal. I mean, it literally saved me, I can't even tell you how many hours, because it lost all my playlists. It lost all the ratings for every song that I have in there. I mean, everything that I've done in iTunes over the years was gone.
Right. And once that's gone, if that XML file gets corrupted, it's gone, baby.
It's gone.
Unless you're using Time Machine.
And, you know, and the file itself was like just a couple megs. I mean, it was a really small file. So it's amazing that that small file was so, so important, but it was. And of course, I am using a time capsule. I've got a 1 terabyte time capsule, but that sucker's starting to get full.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'm going to want to get something bigger. Now, here's the problem, guy. It's also my N router, so I'm not going to replace it completely, but I might replace using the hard drive in it and go with something bigger like this Mercury Elite from MacSales.com, because I can keep I just get a new hard drive, slap it in there, and it's a bigger drive at that point.
Yeah, and they also sell just the enclosure for about $80, $79.99.
And drives keep coming down in price, so if you've already got some hard drives laying around, or you just want to, you know, buy your own hard drives, maybe you can get a better deal, just get the case, and then that's everything you need right there.
It's amazing.
So thanks very much to MacSales.com for sponsoring the show this week. If you have a company and you want to get it announced, your product announced on the show, and Guy and I and David and, you know, sometimes Sam, we'll talk about your product. Just send an email to tim@mymac.com.
But it better be good, baby.
I had a, let me pull up the email. It might take me a second here. But I had, John Nemirovsky had emailed me. Because, as you know, Guy, I have kids, you have kids.
Right.
And John
Guy.
Had emailed me for a friend of his, wanting to know what I use to manage, you know, how my kids access the Internet.
Right.
You know, here it is. It's, hi, what do you use or recommend for preteen girls regarding iMac parental controls? Now, my response, and I'll just read that to you. Here's my response. Sitting in the same room with them while they are on the computer. That's what I did. When we finally let them have a go on the iMac or the Macs without us being right there, I told them that I would be checking logs to see what sites they visited, who they were chatting with, etc. That just requires looking at the web history. I also set up a new account for them on that computer, sat with them for a few hours, and bookmarked the site they wanted to visit that I approved. Then, when they wanted to go to the computer, they use their own account and could only go to the sites already bookmarked. If, by checking the history, they went to unapproved sites by me, they were grounded for the computer for a week. Constant vigilance.
Yes.
And I said, there is no great software to do it for you that I'm aware of. Hope this helps, Tim. And that was true at the time. I didn't know of any Mac software that did it. Here's the funny thing. I get this email the very next day. Here's a program called NetNanny for
Mac.
Oh,
yeah. I've heard of that.
I had never heard of this. I didn't realize it was out there. So for John and anybody else who has parents, you might want to look into NetNanny. I mean, it's going to be working on the Mac. It's powered by Intego. Looks pretty cool. So, you know, they're partnering with Content Watch. So that's always good to know that there is something like that, because, of course, not every parent can sit in the same room with their kid for hours at a time and make sure their internet behavior is appropriate.
Right. And it's not real expensive. It's only $40, $39.99.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to get them to become a sponsor. That's not why I said that, because I think it's that kind of product we do need on the Macintosh. I think the Mac platform gets a little overlooked in those regards, and I'm glad that someone's providing that service. I just wish I knew about it beforehand. When John sent me the email, I probably would have said about the same thing, and I would have said, also, check out NetNanny. So, but I didn't, because I didn't know about the program. They need to do a better job on PR.
Well, plus also what you're doing by going back and looking at the history and the logs. You know, I mean, it's something, even if you have a program like this, you should still be doing at least once a week.
So too many people.
You know what your kids. You need to know what your kids are doing on the computer.
Absolutely, and too many people don't. And you could tell by the way some of these 14-year-old, 13-year-olds post stuff on the internet. You're like, man, who are the parents of these kids that are letting them say this kind of stuff? You know, they're not checking. They don't know what their kids doing online.
Well,
and the kids
unfortunately,
would never act
like
that.
A lot of them have, you know, no idea how to work their computers anyway.
Unfortunately, you're right. Absolutely, but I think if they had a Mac rather than a PC, they'd probably have a lot better luck. And they wouldn't be as scared of the computer as they probably are now.
Well, that could be. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to slam, you know, Windows in this particular case because, you know, regardless of what OS you're using,
if
you need,
watching
you need
your
to
kids,
learn
yeah.
what to do to pay, you know, you need to pay attention to what your kids are doing online.
Bakari actually posted a blog up on mymac.com about a new iPhone application that works in conjunction with a Macintosh application from Simplify Media that allows you to basically stream your music, share your music on your Mac to your iPhone or your iPod Touch. That's pretty cool. And it's free for the first 100,000 users.
Really? So, I've never even heard of this.
I hadn't either. I just read Bakari's post. I downloaded it from my iPhone. Obviously, they haven't got to 100,000 yet. But if anybody listening has an iPhone and you want to stream your music from your computer, for instance, Guy, for me, I've got way too much music on my computer that can ever fit on my iPhone. Even if I had a brand new iPhone, couldn't fit it, you know. Being able to stream it would be really cool. Now, I haven't tried it yet, but supposedly it works over Wi-Fi. It's supposed to work over Edge and 3G as well.
Now, is that just for audio?
It doesn't say, but I would imagine it's probably just audio, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to check it out some more. I am curious, does it work with DRM files too, or does iTunes not allow that? There's some questions, but I'm going to check it out. But still, even if it doesn't work with video or DRM music, it's still worth having. I mean, it's free. You do have to get an account, and that's free. So it's worth checking out. Check out Bakari's blog, Connecting iPhone to iTunes, which when I first read that, I went, you just plug in a cable. What the heck? let's talk about a little bit of news, Guy.
Okay.
SciStar, what's going on with everybody's favorite Mac clone maker?
Yeah. Well, apparently, you know, in spite of the legal action that Apple took not too long ago, they're still making their open computers and installing OS X Leopard. They're even now including a restore disk, which will allow their, you know, whoever it is that's buying a SciStar Mac, or, sorry, an open computer, If they have a problem, they can reinstall the OS from the retail copy that they also send along with the computer. This is kind of stepping it up, you know, a little bit higher than what they were doing before, which was, you know, basically what SciStar, for, you know, for those who have been in a deep hole for the last 6 months, what they're basically doing is selling you a bland vanilla computer
PC.
But they're installing OS X on it, and in order to
OS X,
yeah, So OS 10 Leopard. In order to get around being accused of pirating, they're also including a retail copy, you know, a sealed retail copy of OS 10. And, you know, but the problem was you had this retail copy, but if you had a problem with the computer, you had to send them either the computer or the hard drive to reinstall the OS.
Yeah, and that's just not practical.
No, it's not. But with this restore disk, apparently that takes care of the problem. Now, you know, my big issue with SciStar, just based on, you know, the reports that I've heard from people that have owned them, is that it's still really super loud, that it's a cheaply made computer.
It's not a Mac. Macintosh.
No, it's not a Mac. But if you're looking to, say, try out a Mac, then this is probably a good way to just give it a try and then go ahead and get an actual Apple-branded machine so that everything just works.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised that they're still selling computers after the legal action of Apple Computer.
They've got some legal representation from some law firm out in California.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was last week. So, you know, until a judge comes out and says, "Hey, guys, you got to stop doing this," you know, they're going to keep doing it for as long as they can, because what other choice do they have?
Yeah, it's gutsy. I'll give them that. Well, the other choice is to quit, to stop selling them.
Right, but, you know, at that point, they're just another Windows or Linux computer maker.
Yeah. Back on the 13th of August of, that's, you know, a couple of days ago for us, Guy. Actually, it was yesterday as we record that, but whenever anybody listens to this, it's going to be 2 to 5 days ago. I posted a blog because I happened to be sitting in front of the TV in the kitchen, and I was making breakfast for the little ones, and I heard just a very small part of a news report on CNN about a fire at Apple's headquarters. And I went, huh? What?
Right.
And turns out there was a fire on the night of August 12th.
At 10 p.m. 10 p.m. Right? Really? Yeah.
And I nobody was hurt, thank goodness. No firefighters, no Apple employees. But it took them like 3.5 hours to put the fire out.
Yeah, well, I mean, this isn't a small building. This is a 120,000 square foot building. It's located.
It's a big one.
Right. It's located within their Apple campus, and you know, the fire itself was said to have been started by some spare construction equipment that they, you know, they were working on a rooftop air conditioning unit, and the building was said to mostly house information technology equipment and servers. So, you know, it's not like a fire at this building was going to keep people from getting their iPods or their iPhones.
Or that the latest and greatest that Apple's working on was destroyed.
Right, right.
Well, that's good. I'm glad nobody was hurt. You know, forget about the computers and that sort of thing. As long as no one was hurt or injured or killed.
Well, that's the most important part.
Absolutely. Speaking of OS 10, 10.5.5 was seeded to developers.
Yeah, there's a new seed out for developers, 9F13 for, you know, whatever the hell that means, for OS 10 5.5 with a number of bug fixes to include mail sync, multiple TCP connections, the BSD kernel, and the HFS plus file system. And apparently some of the other changes include energy server and some mobile me issues that will, you know, please God, to improve performance on that much beleaguered service. The big thing is it's looking like it's going to be over, or at least the latest seed is over 300 megs, so it's not going to be a little-y.
No, that's a pretty big bug fix OS update. I mean, that's a lot of stuff right there. But
yes, it is.
You know, I got to give it to Apple. They keep constantly updating the OS and making it better and more stable, and that's a good thing for everybody involved.
Well, now, you know that probably next year, Snow Leopard is coming out. 10.6. No new features.
That kind of, to me, maybe I'm crazy for saying this, but that's kind of a relief to me in that I know it's going to be a major system upgrade, but it's more about stability and improvement and making the OS as lean and mean as possible rather than slapping some new, you know, drop shadow
new service,
GUI.
Right.
Yeah, that well, maybe some people would use.
Do you think that this will be the cutoff point for the PowerPC machines?
Yeah, I do. I think this is probably going to be, I don't think 10.6 is going to run on PowerPC. I think 10.5 is going to be the end.
But honestly, as long as there's like no cool Gee Whiz features, do you think it'll matter that much?
Yeah, I think because that's what they're doing. I think they're probably going to strip out most of the PowerPC stuff in the OS, and that's going to help, you know, the physical file size of the OS, and they're really going to tweak it for the Intel platform. I think that's what Snow Leopard's really all about.
Okay.
Rather than, you know, adding the ability to have multiple windows on one monitor or, you know, the backup or anything like that. But that does bring up a good question that if 10.6 Snow Leopard brings no new features to the table and it's supposed to come out in 2009, when is 10.7 going to come out with what new features? That's kind of interesting. If Apple's going to have this long to really work on the next major update to the system, which I don't consider 10.6 is going to be a major update.
No.
Insofar as the consumers are concerned. So when 10.7 comes out, whatever it's called, Lion or, I don't know, Kitty Cat, what new features, Guy, do you think that Apple could be working on? Do you have any kind of idea? I don't. I'm completely clueless on what Apple could be coming out with.
I get the feeling, and if Microsoft isn't working on something similar, they're fools, that they're going to start looking at cloud computing as being your computer, where instead of selling you the OS, you have an iMac, and as long as you have a broadband connection, you're actually logging in from a server that Apple is controlling. So you won't have to worry about updates. You won't have to worry about that stuff because when you log in, you'll have the latest and the greatest version.
I think you're a little optimistic on that.
No, I could be. But, I mean, if Snow Leopard is coming out in 2009, we're looking at easily 2010, 2011
Probably before
10.7 comes
out. But do you really think Apple's going to wait that long to come out with an update to the OS that consumers are going to say, holy crap, I need to buy that? Because that's not going to happen with 10.6.
It won't happen, but I think a lot of that is going to depend on if Apple is able to continue to sell more and more Macs for each quarter and raise their market share. I mean, we could be looking at kind of a shift in Apple's strategy, and you know, this is just me talking off the top of my head, but I'm starting to wonder because I mean, you look at the SciStar thing that went on for a couple of months before you had anything from Apple at all. So, you know, they may be looking at SciStar and some of these other companies that are kind of doing the same thing as a test market for maybe for Apple to stop making the Mac and just become an OS company as far as, you know, OS X goes. Not sell Macs anymore. Have a limited amount of hardware that you know, they will certify as being Mac compatible. And what this will probably mean if they do something like this, is that the OS will no longer be $129. It'll probably raise in price somewhat.
It's interesting. I don't think Apple will ever do clones. I think they make way too much money on hardware. I think they like knowing what hardware their software is going to run on, legally anyways.
Right.
And that they could bring that experience, that it's a combination of hardware and software that makes the Mac platform what it is.
Well, that very well could be, but the problem with that is that you're limiting how far you can expand your market. Not everybody's going to want to buy a computer from Apple, even if OS X, OS 10 is the greatest thing since buttered toast.
But if Apple had a generic box that you could put Windows on, I don't think it's going to make any difference. I don't think people would want to buy it regardless. By the same token, I don't think they're going to buy a Dell that you can run the Mac OS on, and that's specifically why they went to Dell to buy it.
You don't think so?
I think it's all price. And if Apple would license the OS at $300 a pop, and the components and everything that goes into a computer costs $300 a pop, and then you start looking at, you know, how much money the company that's selling these computers, they're going to have to sell it for at least, after shipping and handling and all that, and manufacturing, they're going to have to sell it for at least $800-$900, at which point
it's no less expensive than an Apple Macintosh.
Exactly.
But would they actually, you know, if you go into an Apple store and, you know, assuming that you're no longer buying Macs there, you're buying iPods or you're buying iPhones or you're buying, say, Dell Macs or whoever it is that's making them, but you're going to buy a copy of OS X, whatever the latest version of OS X is. and you're going to spend, you know, and for the sake of this argument, let's just say $300. Do you think Apple, as you know, selling the same software to someone that's making Macintosh clones, don't you think they would sell it to them for a little bit less since they're buying like a volume discount? Or
yeah,
give them a volume discount?
Oh, absolutely. But I just don't see Apple going that route. Number one, Steve Jobs is too much of a controlling leader. He doesn't want to let that slip out.
Okay. How long will Steve Jobs remain at Apple?
I think it's not just Steve Jobs. But I think it's the philosophy of the company that he's embedded within that company over the last 10 years that's not going to change. And I don't think that it necessarily has to change when you look at how much money Apple is making and the type of products and the reception those products are getting in the media as well as the public. I don't think Apple has any vested interest of turning over their manufacturing of their hardware to anybody else.
Well, haven't they pretty much? I mean, Apple used to literally build their own computers. They had their own factories.
Yes, but the companies that do that for them now, they do it
for
following, the cost.
Right, but they're following a specific hardware set that Apple specifies.
Right.
So why couldn't, and you know, and these are the same makers that are making Dells, they're making HPs, they're making, you know, Gateway and
you look
any
at the
other
quality
company
of those boxes, but then you look at the quality of those, not all of them, but the majority of those boxes, and they're just crap. They're put together very shoddily. I just made that up.
Strategery.
They're just not very good boxes. They feel plasticky, crappy. Whereas you pick up a Mac Pro, or heck, even a Mac Mini, and it feels more. What's the word I'm
Solid.
Looking for? Well made.
Constructed well.
Yeah. That there's been some care and thought given into how this product is going to be made. And I don't think Apple wants to give that up because that's who they are. They don't make just great software. They make great hardware and software.
Well, that's very true. But it's not like Dell can't put together a good computer. Back in the day when the Mac clones were around.
But what's Dell's incentive?
You had Power Computing, which was, you know, they were okay. But the computers that I thought were really well put together from those days were the UMAX machines.
Yep.
The C600,
nice.
The S900. These were just really, really beautiful machines. Well put together, easy to open, easy to work with. Everything just worked. It was like it came from Apple.
Right. But here's the thing, Guy. It takes a lot more time and effort to enact those type of standards and hardware. And I think that the profit margin for these other companies like a Dell or an HP or whoever might make a Mac clone, they're not going to waste their money when the profit margins are going to be so razor thin being a clone manufacturer.
Well,
they don't
depends,
do that now.
It depends on how
high,
many. Because, you know, Apple wouldn't just be throwing it out there for anybody to make. There would have to be some kind of quality control. And, you know, as far as the hardware goes, and not just the innards, but the outers, the outer shell as well, Apple could control through licensing who makes them, how well they make them, what the design looks like. And let's face it, not every machine that Apple's put out has hit it out of the park as far as quality goes. I mean, there were problems with the iMacs and the monitors not that long ago.
Yeah, you know, the MacBooks that they were overheating
and, you know,
the discolorization where you're on your palm rest. Yeah, Apple's had some manufacturing problems in the past. I just don't see any benefit to Apple to get into the clones again. I don't see.
Like,
because anybody that wants to buy a Mac will buy a Mac from Apple, and those who don't want to buy a Mac wouldn't even consider it if it was from Dell or Apple. They just don't want a Mac. They want a Windows PC. So where's the benefit to Apple? I don't see one.
Well, I just think it's a matter of eventually Apple's going to hit the wall where they're not going to be able to expand their market share much beyond probably 15 to 20% of the consumer market. And they're
going
to
realize how big that market is.
It's huge.
I'm not
denying that, but you know, it's like, what's the number one rule in business? Expand or die.
Now, here's the question, though, Guy. Is Apple so concerned about their personal computer market share, or are they more concerned with, and this is kind of a rhetorical question, are they more concerned with bringing new products to start up new revenue streams, i.e. the iPhone, the iPod, new products that don't have any competition or the competition that's already there, no one's really got it right. Do you think that's more of an interest to Apple to dominate a new market or keep beating this, you know, desktop computers into the ground hoping that they're going to steal some market share away from the PC market, which they are now? Significant market share.
I think that new markets are always good, but you know, not everything that Apple has put out since they've become more of a consumer product company has been home runs as well. You look at like the iPod Hi-Fi, which was, you know, it was nice enough, I guess, but it was a dog as far as sales goes because it didn't offer any type of real advantage over other similar products that were on the market.
Whereas that was a type of product, though, that it's a speaker. There's only so much more you can do with a speaker.
Okay,
even
but,
the
hey,
considerable
how much,
talents
how
of
much,
Apple.
How much did Steve Jobs hype that?
Well, that's his job. I mean, he's going to hype anything that he's trying to sell.
But then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got the iPhone, which does things in a way that wasn't typical for the cell phone market.
Still isn't.
And it's really caught fire. Everyone else is trying to catch up or at least come up with something. You know, and I think I blogged about this. I basically said that these other companies shouldn't be trying to copy the iPhone. You know, don't try to copy something. You want to try to out-innovate whatever it is that the other people are doing. Because if all you're doing is copying, all you're going to do is play catch-up for the rest of your life.
What was that? There's a new phone that just came out maybe a few months ago.
And the Instinct?
The Instinct. I actually got to see one of those in person. And, wow, what a piece of crap that is.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I was thinking, well, this is coming out a full year after the original iPhone. It's coming out by a company that supposedly knows how to make phones. They've been doing it for 30 years. Yeah, a big company that they're going after Apple. That's the target. They want to fight the iPhone, and this is what they're going to do it with. It actually is a little thinner, by the way.
Okay.
So I saw the Instinct, and I turned it on. It is touch, but it's only touch as far as you can push a button, and that's it. That's the whole touch.
What's the underlying UI? Is it Windows Mobile?
I have no idea. No clue.
Or is it something that they've made themselves?
I think it's probably something that they made themselves. But it doesn't have multi-touch or anything like that. But putting that aside, the screen itself, when you hold it up next to an iPhone, looks grayish.
Really?
And Is it the same size screen? No, it's a little bit smaller, but it's got the dimensions are a little bit different. It's a little longer, but it's not as wide.
Okay.
But just the graphical representation of what you're seeing on the screen was just garbage. Browsing the internet on it was just crap. I mean, it was like cell phone
101.
You know, typical cell phone browser where you don't really see what the website really looks like. It didn't scale stuff correctly. It was just crap. I mean, there was nothing about it that I thought, wow, this is all. Well, I will say, though, that the GPS built into it is turn by turn, and that
right.
was kind of neat.
Well, and that's certainly an improvement over the GPS that the iPhone has.
Absolutely.
But
that's only a software issue. That's not a
right.
hardware issue.
Well, and also this, you know, GPS isn't something that you, when you're shopping for a cell phone, a multifunction cell phone, it's not like, when you walk out the door, your wife calls back to you, hey, honey, make sure it's got a really good GPS. You know, because most people don't care that much.
Right.
You know, and if you're going, and frankly, now, how does it connect up for its GPS? Is it through the cell network?
I didn't get that far into it. I couldn't tell you.
Okay, well, it probably doesn't have a satellite connection.
No, but I will
okay,
tell
so
you
without
this,
a, without a satellite connection, you
oh,
know,
no, it had a satellite connection, obviously. And
oh,
how else
okay.
could it do it, of course?
Well, they could do it similar to what Apple does.
Well, Apple uses GPS on the new G3 iPhones. It's GPS. It's a satellite. You can't do turn-by-turn on towers or anything because it's not as accurate. You have to have a satellite. So, yeah, absolutely, it has that. But so does the new G3 iPhone. It uses satellites. That's how it knows right where you are. And if you don't have a newer iPhone, you have an older one, it gives you a rough idea based on cell tower strength.
Right, or Wi-Fi.
Right.
The I other thought thing, that's the way it was for the new one, too.
No, No, it's GPS. It's real GPS.
Okay.
But the other aspect, after looking at this phone, just thinking, ugh, what a mess. I went into the media so you can listen to music and stuff. Clunky, clunky, clunky. Plus, and this is probably the biggest thing, there's no iTunes for this thing. There's
There's no, I mean, Apple wouldn't do that.
No, but no, I'm saying that the what they have to control what media is on there and stuff from your computer was clunky, and it just it was buggy. It was not good at all. So Apple really has nothing to worry about for the immediate future. They really don't.
Well, except for those people that strictly buy technology based on how much it costs.
Right. And this guy, I asked this guy, I said, well, why did you get this? And he was like, I don't know.
It was cheaper than an iPhone.
Well, the iPhone, he's on Sprint, so he couldn't get the iPhone.
Right.
I said, did you even look at an iPhone? He goes, no, I figure they're about the same. So I let him play with the iPhone for about 5 minutes. Completely changed his mind. He'd only had this machine, this little cheap, what is it again?
The Instinct, right.
He only had it for less than a week, and he had 30 days that he could return it if he didn't want to. He was completely convinced after less than 5 minutes of playing with the iPhone, and this is a first generation iPhone. This isn't the new one.
Right.
Completely convinced that he's going back to Sprint, returning this phone, canceling his Sprint, and going to AT&T just to get the iPhone because he was so impressed. He was like, this is amazing. He was looking at video, and he was like, the video, that's the other thing. The video on the Instinct was just crappy. I mean, he had a ripped DVD on there, and it was, it just looked like crap. I mean... Well,
How much memory does it come with, or is it one of those where you plug in a?
No, I think it was 16 gigs, might have been 8, but he did have enough for a movie. I mean, you know,
right?
But the movie itself, it looked like garbage. It didn't look good at all. And I showed him a video on the iPhone, and he was like, "Oh my god, it's so crisp and clean," where his was kind of muted and dull, and the colors weren't correct. And
would you think that's
No, because the color...
I was going to say resolution issue?
No, because the colors on the rest of the phone...
Were the same way.
It just looked like crap. You could tell that they went with the lowest common denominator for, you know, the screen and, right. You know, the OS. And they just slapped whatever they could together to give it the appearance of the iPhone and trying to capture some of that market. But when you compared it to a real iPhone, there was no comparison at all. It was kind of embarrassing, actually, with all the marketing that's behind this thing. It was embarrassing. I thought, they're going to put $100 million into marketing this?
So it just completely missed the mark, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. They have no clue. They don't know why the iPhone is as popular as it is. They just don't get it. They don't understand that it's not just the phone itself. It's also iTunes. It's also the iTunes Music Store. And now it's also the apps that you can get for the iPhone to really make it a much better platform. Well, the only other company that gets it is RIM. RIM's the only other company that understands
what the iPhone does. But that's a whole different type of market.
Not really. Not when you look at the price and what you can do with the phone. That's where the iPhone is competing. They really compete with RIM. They don't compete with this thing. They don't compete with the flip phones.
Motorola or any of this.
Right, no.
And sorry, Larry.
Those companies really don't get it. They don't. And the quality of this product was such that it was evident. Last thing I want to talk about this week, at least as far as the newsy stuff, Jason Snell up at Macworld Online, he's a really good writer, by the way, hell of a nice guy, wrote an article titled "When Apple's Reach Exceeds Its Grasp." A few points that Jason made was there's not enough people at Apple, and points to the delay of Leopard due to the iPhone launch and needing to finish that is why Leopard was delayed, 4 months, 3 months?
It was almost 6 months.
Was it almost 6 months that Apple simply didn't have enough people
to keep all the balls in the air?
Yeah, they had to pull people off of Leopard to work on the iPhone. And he says this is a prime example of Apple exceeding its reach. And my counter to that would be, you know, more bodies do not a better product make. Just look at Office 08 for the Macintosh as a prime example. A lot of people working at Microsoft, Mac Business Unit, look at Office 08. Look at the reception and the reviews it's getting.
Yeah, I still haven't been able to install it.
Yeah, exactly. I can tell you from my own personal experience that, you know, it doesn't work right. Sam Levin was just ranting and raving about it just a couple days ago to me on the phone. He could not believe how crappy it was and that he couldn't even update it because he downloaded the update and it wouldn't run. It kept saying, you don't have a copy of Office 08. And he's like, it's right there. And I said, the same thing happened to me, Sam. I had to delete Office 08, reinstall it, then run the update, and it saw it. I mean, right. I don't think more people is necessarily the answer to Apple's supposed problems in this regard. I don't think more bodies is going to make Apple more productive. You have to have the right number of people
and it
with
depends
the right
on
skill
the
set. Exactly. And there's only a certain amount of people in this world who I probably would think have the necessary skill sets to help Apple create, you know, OS X or what have you.
So what's the answer?
I don't think there is an answer, at least as far as I could give you. I just don't think that this is a case of Apple exceeding its reach. I think it's more of a case that, you know, more bodies isn't necessarily the answer.
But that only leaves them with one choice, and that's to slow down production or slow down product release.
Right, but are they really going too fast on product release? Does Apple need to slow down? Besides the Apple TV, which is really only a scaled-down version of the Mac Mini with OS X on it, and the iPhone, what new products have Apple really come out with? The MacBook Air is simply an extension of what's come before. The Mac Mini has been around for years. There's nothing new that we can see right now on the desktop. As the iMac is really just a facelift of the all-white version of the Intel iMac with an aluminum, you know, aluminum case and a black bevel. The MacBooks haven't changed appreciatively in years.
MacBook has Pro MacBook hasn't changed at all.
Outside of speed bumps. Yep. And while the Mac Pro is significantly faster today than it was, say, 2 years ago, it's still the same basic computer, all but with, you know, more processors in it. The fiasco of Mobile Me, I don't think, reflects on the overall flaw in Apple's business model, nor that they're exceeding their reach. You know, I think that it's more of a case of they try to do too many things at one time, and that's never good for any business, no matter how many people that you have. I think it's more of a case of they just need to really focus on what they're doing at any one time. But I don't.
But isn't that kind of what Jason Snell was talking about?
Well, maybe a little bit, but I don't know. Are they really trying to exceed their grasp?
Well, that could mean that, you know, exceed your grasp can mean, again, you know, you're trying to do too many things at one time, or you're pushing products out the door before they're really ready.
I think that's definitely the case with Mobile Me. I don't know if that's necessarily the case with the iPhone and Leopard.
No, I don't think it's the case with iPhone. I don't think it's the case with the iPhone, but as you know, and we talked about this on a couple of shows ago, that they should have done a more structured launch where they had one thing out and they said, okay, you know, here's part two, okay, here comes part three, instead of trying to do every single thing at once. And, you know, Mobile Me's problems will go away. You know, Apple has a lot of experience working with .Mac over the last 4 or 5 years, and they will make Mobile Me work, and they'll make it work the way that they said it will.
Maybe.
No, I think they will. I think Apple understands what it is that, you know, where the market is going with a convergence device like the iPhone or the iPod Touch, where instead of carrying all these different things, you've just got this one thing. And if you need something, if you need something off your computer, or if you've made something on your computer and you push it up, that it's going to go to all these other places that you go to. The problem that I'm having with Mobile Me right now is that I can't use it at work because I'm on Internet Explorer.
Yeah, and it's not compatible.
On a Windows machine, right.
Yep.
So, you know, and a lot of the people that are buying iPods, Touches, and iPhones, they're on Windows machines.
Mm-hmm.
What's the number one browser on the Windows machines? Internet Explorer. You got to make it work for your target audience with the software that they're using.
You think Apple's a little too insular when it comes to this kind of stuff?
I really do. You know, if you think back, I guess it was last year sometime, they started pushing out Safari for Windows. And, you know, when this first happened, everyone was talking about, oh, okay, well, here's the iPhone, and now here comes Safari for Windows. And, of course, they've had iTunes for Windows forever. And
you think Safari for Windows was simply an end so they can get Mobile Me on the PC as well? Because
I don't even know if they were thinking about Mobile Me at that point.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
As trying to get some type of service maybe similar to that up to Windows users as well, because Apple is not going to survive just selling products to existing Mac users or existing Apple users. They've got to reach out to the Linux users. They've got to reach out to the Windows users, and they have to make it work on those platforms with the software that's typically on those platforms.
But it works with Firefox. It works with Safari, and that's on Windows and the Mac. Firefox is on all three.
Right, but not everybody wants to use Firefox.
Well,
Firefox typically isn't included when you buy a PC.
No,
what they're going to have on their PC, on a Windows PC, they're going to have Internet Explorer. So they have to make it work with Internet Explorer.
No, they don't have to because
they
didn't.
If they want to expand, the average
Internet Explorer user a Mobile Me customer? Probably not.
I don't agree with that. I think that there's a lot of people that are buying the iPhone because it looks like it's really cool, and then they're coming home, they're plugging it into their Windows PC and finding out that they can't use Internet Explorer, at which point, you know, they're going, okay, so I'm going to go get Firefox or I'm going to go get Safari for Windows. But that's an extra step that Windows users that buy iPhones should not have to take. They should be able to use the software that's on their computer, and it's just another browser. They should be able to use the software that's on their computer with their iPhones, and Apple needs to make it work.
So Apple should be hamstrung by the crappy web browser that Microsoft provides to provide their services? Or should Apple go ahead and keep innovating, saying, hey, you need to use a more updated browser, you need to stop using Microsoft Internet Explorer because it's a piece of crap, everybody knows it. Use Firefox, use Safari. They're both free. They're both very small to download. But we're not going to be hamstrung by Microsoft's inability to keep Internet Explorer up to date with the latest web technologies. We're going to move ahead. They can catch up to us.
Well, that's as maybe, as David Cohen would say.
I think that's kind of what they're doing.
But think about what Internet Explorer was like with version 4 or version 5. Compare that to version 6, which was a vast improvement on the Windows side anyway, since we never saw it on the Mac, over version 5. And 7 is an improvement over 6.
But it's
with
still
Firefox coming on and with Safari coming on, Microsoft is now being forced to make their browser better. They're being forced to embrace more of the standards, the web standards that everybody else is using instead of using my point.
So why should Apple have to slow down their development cycle to allow Microsoft to catch up?
Because there's a lot of people that maybe don't want to download Firefox or Safari, but they want an iPhone.
And well, they can still use an iPhone without Safari or Firefox.
No, that's true, but they can't use
Mobile Me.
All right, and how much does Mobile Me cost? $99 a year.
But that's Mac only. That's not for the PC. You can't buy Mobile Me for the PC.
Yes, you can.
Well, not with Internet Explorer.
Not with Internet Explorer.
Right. So if you're going to buy Mobile Me, you're going to spend $100, and it doesn't work with Internet Explorer. You see what I'm getting at?
Yes, but how many people are buying iPhones that are on Windows? Lots of them.
Absolutely.
Apple's making a lot of money, or will eventually make a lot of money off Mobile Me at $99 a user for every single year that they sign up for it. The iPhone makes them a couple $100 one time, boof, it's gone. Mobile Me brings them in money every single year, which means that you have to make it an experience that Windows users are going to want to pay for.
Right, so they should download a better free browser.
They may not have a choice with what type of browser they have on some of the computers that they use. I can't download Firefox or Safari on my Windows PC at work.
Well, you're not supposed to be doing this kind of stuff at work anyways, Guy.
Well, yeah, but if I want to just check my email at lunchtime or, you know, I mean, I'm not working for 9 to 10 hours a day just sitting there at the computer punching away at you know, whatever it is I'm doing.
But here's the thing, Guy. Right. But here's the thing. If you're referring back to it's iPhone users that can't access this at work. Guess what? They've got their iPhone. They can access their email. They can access MobileMe. They have Mobile Safari right there on their iPhone, which can access MobileMe. So
if
they've already got it.
Get a signal from within the building that they're in. I can't. I don't get a signal inside my building.
Well, again, what's Apple supposed to do about that?
Well, nothing. But if I could connect up to MobileMe through Internet Explorer, which is still the number one browser in the world.
In the world, but not in the U.S. The last thing I heard
is still,
that
it's still the number one browser in the U.S.
Well, not by a big margin anymore. Firefox is really making inroads. Firefox right now is...
And that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good for everybody because it's going to force Microsoft to kind of get up off their butts and bring their A game. Because right now, as far as Internet Explorer goes, they're not doing that.
Exactly. And I keep thinking, to me, you keep making my point for me. I don't think Apple should be hamstrung by a crappy web browser that Microsoft is years behind. Free software, they're way behind on when it comes to compatibility. Apple shouldn't be hamstrung by that. Microsoft, if they want to make inroads in the browser war, which is still going strong, they need to bring their A game, which means Apple shouldn't be hamstrung by whatever Microsoft's current programs are.
We're probably going to have to agree to disagree. But
I think so. I just don't see Apple looking at anything that Microsoft's doing, saying, "Well, we're not going to do this because it's not going to be compatible with this crappy web browser that every PC ships with." Even though that there's free versions out there that will do it just fine, we're gonna dumb it down. We're gonna make it not as nice, just so the Internet Explorer users can use it. I don't see Apple ever doing that. I see Apple saying, "I'm sorry, I know it sucks that you're on a government computer and you can't get Firefox, but you're such a small minority of the users that we're just not even going to bother making backwards compatibility. It's just not going to happen."
Okay, is that your final word?
That's my final word.
Okay, my final word is Apple should make it work for Internet Explorer, and I'll stop there.
Some of the latest content up at MyMac.com. Russ Walkowicz has a Slim Blade Bluetooth presenter mouse review. Donnie Yankelo has a Comic Boom review. I keep wanting to say comic book there.
I love that program, by the way.
Maxpiration 114, to Apple Care or not to Apple Care? And I'll give you the answer, Apple Care.
Yes. Don't buy a computer from anybody without at least a 3-year warranty.
Yep, absolutely. John Nemirovsky has a review of affordable storage and protection from Waterfield Designs and STM. That's kind of interesting. And Neil Monks, who he's had a couple things here recently up at MyMac.com. He's got a really good article, Data Backup 3 versus Time Machine 1.
Now, what is Data Backup? I've never heard of that program.
Go up to MyMac.com, look on the feature side right underneath this podcast, and you can read it.
My God, that's from ProSoft.
That's from ProSoft.
I know those dudes.
I know those dudes. You remember when Sam was talking about Text Expander and all that?
Yes.
One of the things, I don't use Text Expander, although I might after seeing the demonstration he gave me on his computer. I've always been, I've been using iClip Lite. If you do a Google search for iClip Lite, L-I-T-E, it basically gives you the ability to, it's kind of like a scrapbook, but I kind of look at it as multiple clipboards. It's a dashboard widget, and I know a lot of people don't use dashboard widgets, but I still use it. I like having the dashboard widgets there.
I talked about this program when I was doing the dashboard minute.
Yep, it's a really nice one. It's free. That's what I use to store my commonly needed code, mostly.
And you can have multiple windows. I mean, you can put anything that you can cut and paste, you can put into iClip Lite.
Yep, it's a great program. I really like it. The only thing that I wish it did is I wish it gave me a preview of what's on each clipboard. That would be nice because right now I got to kind of guess which is in which. It doesn't give me the ability to give me a preview. That's what I really miss of the application. Text Expander won't do that either. You just start typing something and then it knows, I should autofill this code when he types that in, so it does it automatically. I would love iClip Lite just to give me a preview of whatever is on that particular clipboard. Then it would be just an excellent program. I'd even pay $10 for it.
Well, if they could integrate, what do they call that? Preview that's built into OS 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't think of what it's called now off the top of my head. Not CoverFlow.
Well, this is that type of technology where it would just give me the, you know, the OpenGL type of.
It's Core Video. It's related to Core Video. So where, you know, if you click on your movies tab in your Finder and then you just click on one of the movies, you don't have to open the program, you know, QuickTime or whatever to view the movie. You just hit your space bar and it'll start to play. Yep. If they could do something like that with either iClip Lite or iClip, which works within the Finder,
I think that
would just be incredible.
Yep. And I think we're going to see more programs like that. If you guys know of a multiple clipboard solution that will give me previews, let me know, tim@mymac.com. Or if you're on Twitter, Twitter it to me. I am twitter.com/mymac, M-Y-M-A-C.
And if you're a company that makes a program like that, get a hold of us. And, I mean, you can listen to this podcast and hear how much we'll flog a good product.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We ask everybody that's listened to the program to please check out appminute.com. It's new venture with Sam Levin, and it's fun to do. It's not quite the same as My Mac, and of course I don't have the passion for it that I do for My Mac, but it's a different type of site, which I've never run a site like this before where it's more of a news aggregator. But it's fun, it's neat, and it's easy to read, so check that out. We update it throughout the day. Between 3 and 8 updates per day. So if you're an iPhone user, you definitely want to check out appminute.com.
Yep.
And if you're a Mac user, continue to visiting mymac.com, My Mac Magazine. We've got a lot of product reviews, how-tos, tips, blogs from the different readers, and, of course, this podcast. Guy Searle?
Yes.
I'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.